It's a very diverse place. Lakes, mountains, beautiful history.
I guess we are the grandfather of the backcountry lodges.
This is Mountain Escapes, a backcountry podcast, connecting backcountry enthusiasts like you with the legendary backcountry lodges of British Columbia, Canada. Each episode, we highlight one of BC's unique backcountry lodges through conversation with the lodge owners and operators.
One of the world's finest alpine settings.
Everybody has to have a transceiver, a shovel, and a rope.
Mountain Escapes, a backcountry podcast. Your host is Brad Harrison, who's worked and adventured in remote settings his entire life. He's the executive director of the Backcountry Lodges of British Columbia Association, former owner-operator of Golden Alpine Holidays, and current owner-operator of Call West Alpine Adventures. Now, here's Brad Harrison.
Welcome to the Mountain Escapes, a backcountry podcast brought to you by the Backcountry Lodges of British Columbia Association. I'm Brad Harrison, and we are here to connect backcountry adventures with the owners, operators of lodges throughout British Columbia. Today, we are very pleased and honored to have on our show Andre Renner and Claude Duchesne from the historic Assiniboine Lodge in Mount Assiniboine Provincial Park. Andre and Claude, welcome to the BLBCA's Mountain Escapes.
Thank you, Brad. Glad to be here.
We're really pleased to have you, and we know the Assiniboine Lodge has a long and rich history. Before we get into talking about the lodge, we just want to talk about you a little bit. So can each one of you give us a little background?
Well, I grew up being put to work in the backcountry lodge. My parents got the lease on Mount Assiniboine Lodge in 1983, and I was 9 years old. And I think I got 1 year off, and then it was fast and furious into the dish pit. And I think guiding guests hiking when I was 12 years old. And my youngest sister actually got put to work guiding guests even younger at 10 years old. It's been in my blood for a long time, the working in a backcountry lodge and knowing all the work that is needed. And also just, how to make the guests feel at home and really relate some of the history and the specialness of the place to them from my own past in living and working from a young age at Assiniboine Lodge.
And how about you, Claude?
Yeah, for me, well, I was born in Quebec. And when I was 19 years old, I came on a little ski vacation out west to Banff. That was 1982. And I never went back to Quebec after that to live. I stayed out west. And in 1983, I walked into Assiniboine Park. I stayed at the Naset cabin. It was in the fall and just truly fell in love with the place. And then I didn't go back for a while, and I became a guide with the ACMG in 1993. And then my wife and Nick started working for Andre's mom and dad in 1994. That's when I first met Andre. He was just a young kid then. He was 18 years old. I was 33 years old. And I came to visit and climb and ski, and we started having kids, and Nick was the relief cook, and I would go help out. And then I was super lucky. In 2010, Andre asked me if I wanted to be his partner in the business. So after 21 years of working as a guide with CMH, we won the bid to run Assiniboine Lodge, the most beautiful place in the world, really. And we've been there for 10 years, and we got another 10 years to go to run the place in this beautiful park.
Mountains bring peace to the people.
This is Mountain Escapes.
I want to talk a little bit about the history of the lodge, and I know this will probably fall more into your lap, Andre, but take us all the way back and definitely include some information about your mom and dad, who I know were very instrumental in this lodge.
Chick Scott wrote the definitive history of Assiniboine in a quite a weighty book that is a beautiful book that we commissioned recently. And we found out that we'd, as many backcountry lodges way back, some of the old timers had really changed the stories to suit themselves. So we always thought it was built in 1928 when it was actually built in 1927. So it was the Canadian Pacific Railway that actually got it built, but they built it first and then asked permission later. So it was built in a provincial park, but nobody asked permission to build it. So there was a real problem for a while. It's supposed to be a wilderness park, but now there's a building there. And the Canadian Pacific Railway, I mean, the Great Depression came on, the stock market crash at 29. And so they actually, it was Erling Strom, a Norwegian-American who ran it. And it was his aim to make it the first backcountry ski lodge in North America. And so in 1928, he brought the first guests 2 days in skiing from Banff. And they stayed at the Nasit cabins that were built there just in 1925 by A.O. Wheeler with the Alpine Club of Canada. And so 1928, he brought a bunch of greenhorns in on skis. It must have been quite a journey. If you think hardly anyone except Norwegians and Scandinavians skied then, to drag him in all the way from Banff over two big passes. 1929 to 1939, he brought winter trips there in March and April, and then ran it in the summer as a horseback lodge. And he ran that all the way from 1928 winter all the way through to till 1978. And his daughter, Siri, ran it for a couple more years. And so guests would come in on horseback. So my dad was working for Canadian Mountain Holidays. He was a heli-ski guide. And the early 80s were very difficult, heli-skiing. I mean, there was a recession happening, and they switched helicopter types. So there was some helicopters had crashes. There were some avalanche deaths. So he was really looking for a place to slow down, and that was, he didn't want to run those risks, and he wanted to slow down, and that was the Telemark era, full in the Telemark era, and so there was lots of snow snakes in action, dragging people down into the deep powder snow, and people couldn't Telemark that well, but they sure did have a good time, and so they Telemarked out of Assiniboine. And that was right about the time when a whole bunch more backcountry lodges started up. People got really good at telemarking on Assiniboine, and then they moved on to a whole bunch of the other backcountry lodges of BC. And my parents ran the lodge in the summer also, and a bit of a sad era and also promising era in that my parents moved away from horseback supply from Banff. So that was 2 days on horse's back from Banff. The wranglers kept on putting the butter on the wrong side of the horse, on the sunny side of the horse. So the butter arrived all melted. And my parents actually crunched the numbers, and it ended up that helicopters were actually cheaper. So they started, when the wranglers had a bit of a wild party and the food didn't come in, then that's when my parents switched fully to helicopters to bring guests and supplies in. And a bit unusual compared to a lot of other backcountry lodges in that there's campgrounds and more of a Alpine Club. It used to be run by the Alpine Club and owned by the Alpine Club, but now BC Parks owns the buildings and we operate the Nasit cabins. And there's also two campgrounds. So there's a lot going on in the summer with lots of different users, not just lodge users, but campers and Nasit hut users. And at the lodge, it's fully catered and hiking and ski guiding. And also you got people climbing Mount Assiniboine too. So it's a very diverse place, lakes, mountains, beautiful history.
So you mentioned that the only way to get there now is by helicopter, or can you hike in as well?
You can hike in also too, yeah. There's about 4 or 5 different ways to hike in, but there's really only 2 routes that people mainly hike in. And most of the access is from Alberta. And so Assiniboine Lodge is just in BC. It's about 2.5 kilometers into BC. People usually stage out of Camor and then drive up the Mountain Shark Road and hike in either over Assiniboine Pass, Wonder Pass, or come in from Sunshine Village. Those are the main routes in. So that's a good solid day hiking, and a lot of people take 2 days to hike in from Sunshine.
British Columbia, Canada is a backcountry skier's paradise with epic snowfall, vast alpine terrain, and cozy, remote backcountry lodges. Your adventure begins here at backcountrylodgesofbc.com.
Either if I get off of a helicopter or I hike in, what am I going to see when I first come around the corner and see Assiniboine Lodge?
Well, once you come over the pass, which is Assiniboine Pass, or if that's coming from Shark, or if you come from Sunshine, as you come to Hog Lake there, it's this most predominant mountain. It'd be like the Toblerone on the, you know, the chocolate bar there. It's this huge pyramid sticking out from any other peak. It's very, very massive with two glaciers hanging, one on Assiniboine and the other one is on the Magog Peak. And it's the biggest peak in the area. It's actually the sixth tallest peak in the Rockies. And at that point, you're mostly above the trees, and you just walk in the meadows, and you come around the corner as you get closer to the peak, and this beautiful lodge is there, which was built again in 27. And the lodge has seven cabin for guests and five cabin for staff. It's still all the original building. They're really well looked after, with beautiful red roof and a bell on top of the lodge. It's really stunning setting, especially after such a long hike. See, if you came from Sunshine, that may have taken you 2 days. You come around the corner, there's all those little building, the wildflowers are there, the fireweed. It's a really stunning setting with the big lake at the base of Assiniboine, which is called Magog Lake. Very unusual setting for such a remote place.
Yeah, I think what makes Assiniboine also unique is that it's got this very high Matterhorn Peak style peak, or is it Matterhorn the Assiniboine of the Swiss Alps, as we always say? But it's got these stunning rugged peaks, but it's also got a wide open meadows and lakes. So it's very unique in the mountains where you have this big feeling of space while still having all these rugged mountains around you.
And it sounds like the lodge is very comfortable. I don't think you'd call it rustic.
It is definitely comfortable. There was a major renovation undertaken with BC Park in 2010. The lodge was taken apart, which is the dining room and the kitchen. And then the bedroom and living room was lifted and moved forward in the meadows. And then heavier equipment was flown in by helicopter. I think it was 7,000 or 8,756 bag of pre-mixed cement was brought in by helicopter. And then they start doing the digging and then doing footing foundation and rebuild the lodge on top of this new foundation. So it has been really, really well done. It's also a micro hydro system. So we generate power. So there's baseboard heaters inside the lodge. So yeah, it's really cozy with the modern commercial kitchen. Provide great food for the guests.
There's a very nice shower house with sauna for guests to use also.
And what kind of food would people expect?
It's really nice, homey food, but on a very nice high end. Like you'll get fresh salad on a warm day. On a cold day, you'll get a soup. And then you could get lamb, or you'll get fish. You'll get a beef tenderloin and homemade baked bread every day, homemade dessert. We have the same chef has been with us for the last 10 years, Tina. She's from Banff. And she's a great chef, also baker. She used to be a baker working with the Canadian Mountain Holiday. And we've been very lucky to keep her with us for the last 10 years.
And how many staff would you have typically at the lodge?
I think we have 8 staff at a time. And so it's quite a large complement of staff, I think, compared to a lot of backcountry lodges. Sometimes we even have 10 staff. And of course, COVID's changed our numbers a bit, and we've run with less staff and figured out better ways of doing things. But yeah, we do have a fair number of staff with 2 guides and then a chef and then the people that help the chef and lodge manager.
Yeah, and we also look after the trails in the park. So on and off, we have a 2-people trail crew working on the trails in the park. And also a custodian who look after the campgrounds, the Naset cabin, and the high knot for the climbers.
This is the Mountain Escapes, brought to you by the BLBCA. And we are talking with Andre Renner and Claude Dussain from Assiniboine Lodge. Let's talk a little bit about your typical guests. What kind of demographic are they? Where do they come from? What kind of activities are they interested in doing?
Well, pre-COVID, the guests really came from all over the world, but mostly Alberta and BC. We also would get a lot of guests from Japan. And that would be summer. In the winter, the Japanese didn't really come. It was mostly BC, Alberta, and lots of American also in the winter. our average guest would be, I don't know, in their mid-50s or so. And, you know, they just want to get away. We are a digital detox. We have no internet for large guests, only for us, Andre and myself, to run the business. We have an internet and a phone connection. And they just want to come hiking with us. I mean, Andre has been there since he was just a kid. I've been involved with the business for 10 years, so we know where to take the guests, regardless of the weather. We always get the guests in the summer, rain or shine. And the winter, we guide them on skis. And it's, you know, like in winter time, the guests don't come for this steep and deep like you would find in other backcountry lodge or Roger Pass. Our terrain is more on the moderate side. But the setting, it's like nowhere else in the world. When I first start guiding there, especially in the winter time, I thought, wow, am I going to get bored at the Assiniboine? And after 10 minutes of guiding my first guest, I thought, I will never get bored here. The turns are nice. It's you're not thinking you're gonna, you know, break a leg or have an avalanche. It's nice. The snow is good, but the view, really, the setting is nothing else like it in the world. It's a very, very special setting, especially when the peaks are all white in the winter. The mountain looks so big. It's, yeah, and then at the end of the day, come back to a nice, cozy lodge. The guests want to have a glass of wine or a beer, talk about the day, go in the sauna, roll in the snow, and come back at dinner time. And then walk to their little cabin and watch the stars at night. Being in the Rockies, we have lots, you know, it doesn't snow as much as interior BC, but we have lots of clear days, clear night, and watching the stars at night is something else. It's pretty special.
Yeah, and with our guests being more from Canada the last 2 years, we've been really impressed with Canadians. They've been so keen to, I think it's taken it a level up with hiking, where, you know, they just want to hike and they've read about Assiniboine and they've tried to book. But now with the last 2 years, with the border being closed, they've been able to get a booking and they're just so excited. So they want to go from one end of the valley to the other. And it's been a very great energy with Canadians the last 2 years.
And do you find that you have the same guest comes in the summer and winter, or do they cross over seasons?
A little bit of crossover, winter and summer. We keep on trying to convince summer guests to try winter out. And we've had a few that have crossed over. And we have some very keen skiers that come in winter. Like they've done all sorts of different huts, but now they like the more mellow terrain at Assiniboine. So they come up and visit us, and some of them come also summer too.
And just wondering, have you seen a noticeable change in the needs, I'd say needs and expectations of your guests over the years?
Yeah, I would say more and more what they really, the need to stay disconnected as they come to the lodge. I think over time, we're, you know, with our job and our life, we're becoming more and more connected to the internet, social media and all. And the vast majority of our guests are so happy to be disconnected when they come at the lodge. No phone, no email, no social media. So in a way, that's kind of the change. They truly want to have a real mountain experience and just relax and keep it to the very basic. Just skiing in the wintertime and hiking in the summer and watch wildlife and sunset and sunrise. It's almost stronger than it used to be, just from the disconnect of the setting at the Assiniboine. We will never have the guests connected at the lodge, that's for sure.
Speaking of connecting to the internet at the lodge, our staff believe in it firmly too. They've got their own lives, so they can connect at the lodge. But we've had some guests, not many, but offer hundreds of dollars for the password, and our staff have not caved in.
Wow, that's amazing. Hundreds of dollars for a password just to stay connected when you're in the backcountry. I guess I'm missing something.
Skiing is a dance, and the mountains always lead.
This is Mountain Escapes, a backcountry podcast.
So there's 32 members in the BLBCA, and what would you say is unique about Assiniboine Lodge as compared to the other 31 members?
Well, I think it's what's unique is the first backcountry lodge built for skiing in North America. So we're the grandfather of the backcountry lodges. That is pretty special. And yeah, the history of the long-term history of the place, like Wheeler was instrumental with the location of the lodge. You know, it's, you're going into the past. So it's, I think that's what set us apart from anyone else out there. It's almost like a little Swiss village when you come to the lodge and all the buildings and all. And also the fact, I think, that you have people who, you know, can afford to come at the lodge in winter or summer, or the Naset cabin, which is more like a hostel accommodation. But also in the summertime, the campground is open. So for $10 a night, you can just be in this UNESCO World Heritage site. And it doesn't matter how much money you spend. You can be there regardless of your income. Yeah, it's pretty special.
Yeah, I would say that too. It's all the different people out for different things and staying in different accommodation, whether it's at the lodge in a beautiful little CPR style bungalow camp cabin, or in the main lodge itself, or hostel style at the Naset cabins, or in a tent. So there's so many different levels of accommodation and something for everybody. And also, yeah, just the sheer number of beautiful old buildings. My dad would say in a Swiss German accent, it looks like a Swiss village. And all very beautifully maintained. Like we've put a lot of elbow grease into keep those old logs are super thirsty with paint until you get enough paint in them.
And pulling all the crystal ball out of the drawer, what do you see over the next 5, 10, 15 years as your potential major challenges and then maybe your opportunities?
Well, the challenge has always been winter. We're not as busy of a place and as much demand as a lot of the other backcountry lodges for winter. It's been a really tough go to try to get people in for winter. And it's we used to joke that our biggest competition was the Mexican beaches. And that's partly true. But I think more and more Canadians are enjoying winter. I mean, we just have to get our hydroelectric fixed and maybe we could run more months in winter. The real challenge also has been with all the different user groups. It's in the summer, there's the campground is very good now that it's has a booking system so that that numbers can be controlled, as well as Naset cabin books out to a certain amount. But it is a challenge in summer to, there's a lot going on for us to manage. So it is a busy place, but we make it so that our guests don't feel that. Our guests, they can enjoy and feel like they have a bit of mountain paradise. While in the background, we're managing everything. And a really neat thing we do is we have afternoon tea. Well, it's more beer o'clock on the deck of the lodge at 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock. And that's where other park users can come by and have a beer or cakes or other things and see the lodge and experience the lodge and bring all those different people together.
I think the challenge is to be able to keep it the same. You know, we have a park use permit, and some people within the government, sometimes they have different ideas. But really, to me, it's to keep it the same as it was when Erling Strom built this little paradise with his first guests, and Wheeler were there, and, you know, all of this. I think for Andre and myself, our challenge is, I mean, it's a historical building. It's just kind of a living museum in a way. And it's just to keep it that way, just to maintain the building to the perfection we keep them at, keep the roof from leaking and adding more paint, but really not to change anything, just keep it simple. Just a true mountain experience. I mean, when you think of skiing, people have been skiing at Assiniboine since 1928. And they were skiing with old, long, straight wooden skis. And now we have carbon fiber skis and amazing warm boots with electric socks and you name it. But we're still skiing exactly the same place as they were skiing in 1927. I find that amazing. And that's the challenge. Just try to keep it the same, not to get too fancy, and just be comfortable and just a simple mountain experience in a beautiful setting that Assiniboine is.
We often joke that just having outhouses for our guests, you know, they're very, some of the most outhouses with the most beautiful views in the world. We've actually put windows in so you can be there looking at Assiniboine. But those outhouses actually keep it simpler for us, because then some would-be guests phone in and want to book the lodge. And then as soon as they hear outhouse, they run away. So we get the people that we want, partly because we have outhouses, so that they that gets the kind of person that we want at the lodge up there, and keeps it simpler.
Yeah, and I wonder, with all the fancy gear we have, if we actually have any more fun than they used to have back in the 20s. I don't think we do. It's probably, the fun level is probably exactly the same.
Well, people crash less, because like when Andre was talking about the Telemark era, well, I surely was part of that, and I used to crash a lot. The better advantage now with the good gear, there's less crashes. But as far as the fun meter goes, you're totally right, Brad. It's the same. People just love it. It's the same run and the gear. It's just simpler now, but it's just, I don't know. It's pretty special to cruise down the mountain and make turns, and really the gear doesn't matter. It's just as good as it gets.
Yeah, the old free the heel, plant the face.
Yeah, that's the Telemark game. That's also your era, Brad. I'm sure you did a lot of tele turns.
Yeah, and I'm sure I planted my face a lot.
That's right.
I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, both of you, and I just wonder if you'd share one of your favorite stories from all your years at Assiniboine.
There's so many, but I'll just tell you a quick one. We worked for a year renovating the lodge with BC Park, the staff cabin, the guest cabin. We've been working nonstop for a full year until the new guests arrive. It's 2011, and it's 2012, because we had the permit for a year, and now the first guests have finally arrived the day before. Now it is June 30th, and we're going hiking. I'm with Andre at the lodge, and we each have a group getting ready. And it's actually my 50th birthday. I'm turning 50 years old. And just before I plan to leave with the guests to go hiking, I thought, oh, shoot, I should have my camera. I got to take pictures of the guests with me today. So I race to my cabin, which is, I don't know, 200 meters from the lodge at the most. And I come around the corner, and there's a grizzly bear sitting on my porch, just there. So I got scared. I yell, and I scared the bear. The bear got scared. He ran away, and I ran away back to the lodge. And the guest asked me, I said, well, what are you screaming for? I said, well, I just got scared by a grizzly bear. Anyways, and that was the start of my guiding career at the Assiniboine. I forgot the camera for the day. I never went into my cabin. But I just had a beautiful day hiking with the guests. We went up the Nublet that day and did the tour around the lake, and came back at the lodge after that, had a cold beer on the porch with the guests. And I have to say, my life has been better ever since I did that. It's just been a wonderful 10 years, just working with great staff and guests from all over the world. And Andre, you've been a good partner. It's been, I don't know, it's been a lot of fun. It doesn't feel like work. Most days it's just like, I feel like myself, I am a guest in this beautiful park, and I'm just walking around or skiing around. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a story about how not to be a hiking guide, but I think I excuse myself a little bit because I was only 13 years old. Everybody that knows me knows that I'm a very patient person, and I really pace it out for all the guests now. But when I was 13, we were going up towards Windy Ridge and up above the switchbacks, and the guests were really, really being pokey. And so I told them to keep me in sight and zoomed off to the crest where you can overlook Halfway Cabin on the other side where they brought in supplies from Banff. Al Miller, who's in his mid-80s, he was on that trip. I think that would have been in the late 80s. And so he still comes to the lodge, and he still laughs at me about that. And he knows that I don't do that. Very shortly after that, I didn't do that but anymore. But the guests had a good chuckle when I said that.
Left them on their own to have their own devices.
At age 13.
My thanks to Andre Renner and Claude Duchesne from Assiniboine Lodge for joining us on this edition of Mountain Escapes, a backcountry podcast. I'm Brad Harrison. Be sure to join us again next time. Thanks for listening.
Mountain Escapes, a Backcountry podcast, is sponsored by the Backcountry Lodges of British Columbia Association. Join us again next time as we search out more adventure at another unique backcountry lodge in BC.